This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. You know, when I'm in the actual studio, I kind of look at the back of the banner behind me, Empower Radio, and I always tell myself, yep, it's Monday. Well, the beauty of podcasting, even more on a network, you can listen to these shows 24/7 any time that you want. And not even my show, man. Empower Radio has a host, right, of empowering guests and hosts that share their wisdom, share people's wisdom and insight from all over the world. So don't just tune into mine, tune into all of them here at Empower Radio. With that said, my guest today, Renee Barabeau, is the Practical Shaman. Let me tell you, probably 8 years ago or so, as I really started to put myself out there on the shamanic path, I used to say, oh, my work is so practical. Everybody today can use the tools of shamanism to enhance their lives. And I Googled practical shaman and Renee's name came up. And I thought that was so awesome that there was somebody out there that embraced the practicalities of shamanic work. Don't get me wrong. It is sacred. It is the most sacred path I have walked. I know I've been walking it since my birth. Maybe I didn't always know what to call it. It is sacred work. And there are so many different ways to use shamanic tools in your life. Renee's focus is on wind work. And rather than my trying to explain that, I'm going to let her do it. So welcome to Soulful Living, Renee.
Thank you, Terry, for having me here today. And it's an honor to be here. And I always preface my talks by saying that, truthfully, all shamanism is in the practical. So it's kind of redundant to say practical shaman, because shamans have always been concerned with the community, longevity, and well-being. And what's more practical than, you know, connecting and making sure that we all live in harmony and balance.
Yeah, that gave me goosebumps from head to toe, because I agree. You know, when I first started opening up about my passion for shamanism, I remember I would say things like woo-woo and la-la, or people would say to me, you know, well, that's just kind of you know, crazy stuff. And I'd be like, it's not. It's practical tools that you can use to enhance your life every step of the way. And I love that you, especially with your new work, you just launched the book, your book, Winds of Spirit. And you really talk about how people can navigate through life, stepping into the shamanic teachings, particularly through wind work. What does that mean? What is wind work?
Well, wind work is actually ancient wisdom about how to navigate relationships, health, and the divine, which are the same things as the practical shamanism aspect. But go back a couple thousand years ago, and the people were farmers, and they were agricultural, and before that, they were nomads. And, you know, this is before organized religion came in and then organized these groups of people around a cross or a star or David or however they were, but people were wind believers. Wind was, the information's been on the wind for thousands and thousands of years. And so the Holy Spirit is a wind. Ruach is a wind. Nirvana is a place of no wind. And in Greek mythology, no wind ever blew at Mount Olympus. So there's this throughout history and mythology, and actually every creation story I was able to uncover, wind was the predominant element that enlivened life. And if you think about, you know, as a baby's coming out of the womb, the very first thing that they do is they take in a gulp of this wind, and it enlivens them into this body of their life. And when they leave this planet, what do? They exhale that final wind that reconnects their spirit back to everything in the cosmos. So it's the only thing surprising about this book is that nobody else wrote it before, but I know in divine timing that it was time for now, because as I wrote this book, wind temples have been being uncovered around the world. Louise Hay, who I was an avid follower of, passed away this year. Some of my shamanic teachers, Michael Harner, passed away. And just recently, last week, I found out that the sound scientist who introduced me to the windmaker in Mexico, he passed away in the last few months, too. And it's just not, there's just too many things that are lining up to know that this piece of Winds of Spirit is a resource guide for how we're going to navigate the tumultuous changes that have been predicted from, you know, the Aztecs, the Mayans, the Hopis, the Caro. They all knew that we'd come to this day when the winds would start to blow really strong and we'd have to learn how to come back in harmony with the earth.
Well, and two things really came to me in that piece of your conversation is that, you know, surprised that somebody hasn't written it prior to this. To me, it also sounds like a beautiful way for you to honor the your teachers and your deep connections who have passed, and that this is just a beautiful time to really step into that presence for them. I think that's really kind of a cool way to look at that, and that you brought it out in such a unique time. And also that I keep thinking of that term, you know, the winds of change, the winds of change, the winds of change. And I love how you related it to taking that first breath and taking that last breath. That's so powerful to me.
How you harmonize all the breaths in between is where we're really lost right now. I believe that we're spiritually bankrupt across the continents, across the world at the moment, and we don't even know where to turn for information anymore. So a guidebook like this can really keep you, if you think of a sailboat, on course to that harbor of your own inner wisdom and inner peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, like I'm always relating to the roller coaster of life. And I love that when you speak of the winds of change and the winds of spirit, I mean, the book is amazing that it offers so much guidance for people to be able to move through that life. It's really the same concept, you know, everything changes, the wind changes, the weather changes. And this is just a perfect tool to be able to look at and say, okay, you know, based upon the guidance, what can I do here? How can I move? How can I look at a new goal and compassion and passion and so many different ways to recognize how it's moving in your life?
And to know that people have been doing it for thousands and thousands of years, that the Inuit trackers used to be intimately or probably still are involved with the movement of the reindeers. And when the reindeer faces an oncoming wind, it will change direction. And if we were to face some oncoming winds in our life, it might be best to change directions too. And instead of trying to push, the wind allows you to pull. And to pull the energy as opposed to pushing against the energy, it's like sailors learn to tack across the waterway. And we're needing to tack across the waterways because we don't know what's going to happen from one minute to the next in our lives. Mm-hmm. Some of it's in our range and some of it's out of our range. And how do we stay peaceful and happy when the world seems to be, you know, turning upside down on its head?
Right, which is that turbulence, that craziness that's going on all over.
Right, the winds are blowing right now outside my door at about 21 miles per hour. pretty, wow. It's been going on for hours.
Wow. Okay. So listeners, again, I just want to remind you that I'm chatting with Renee Baraboo. You can find all of her information here at the Soulful Living page on Empower Radio. Just Google the Practical Shaman and you will have access to everything that Renee offers to the world right now, including her latest book, Winds of Spirit. So in the book, Renee, you talk about the cardinal forces. What are the cardinal forces? Briefly, of course. I know we don't have, wish we had all day.
I'm going to be teaching that for 5 days at Omega in August. But
that's awesome. I'm going to have to Google that.
I'm excited. The cardinal forces, what was really special about when I started to really look at what the cardinal forces were, that they showed up on the compass cards of the 15th century navigation, the sailor's navigational compass card. Mm-hmm. But when you go back further, they were the same forces on the feng shui compass, the south pointing compass, and that the lodestone always pointed a certain way. And then right as I was finishing up this book, I was looking on the tablets of Mesopotamia. We got to the cardinal forces, and through all of this research, I came to the conclusion that these cardinal winds, these cardinal forces, have been structuring our perception of reality since before the written languages, because you find them even in the cave drawings and things like that, but that people have always organized their reality based on these four cardinal winds. And whether they
Can I just interject here?
Yeah.
Not just people. Animals, like you were saying earlier about the reindeer. So I just wanted the listeners to grasp that for a second, that it's not just humans that honor these directions. So I'm sorry. Please
that's
continue.
Great. And so when you start to look at that, it's like, okay, why? if you want to ask the big why have we been doing this since the first recorded words and before, because clearly this planet, this earth, has wind forces that have held us in some kind of relationship to it forever.
Mm.
And those were identified. So when people are talking about this is my teaching and this is my ritual, the truth is these rituals have been on the wind and have come in from these quadrants long before we ever shared them orally or wrote them down.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you said that. Many times I have said, this is not unique to me. This is something that is available to everyone that has been passed down for centuries and centuries and centuries. It just now came to be at this point. So I'm so glad that you said that.
And what was
funny
was that
uniqueness in the way it's presented, of course.
Absolutely. Plus, because if you're in South America, your winds are a little bit reversed. And I mean, there's places on the earth where there's no wind. The wind doesn't blow. One of the things that was curious for me, though, was when I started to find wind practices and, practices that had taken place throughout history, like tying wind knots by the wind shamans and things like that. It was like, okay, so really people used to use and access this power in a way that was, they understood it far more than we were understanding. And we walked so far away from nature, except for, this 10% or 3% of us, whatever the number is, I don't know. But now we have to get in relationship with it because there's floods, there's hurricanes, there's tornadoes, there's droughts. There's ice caps that are either melting or freezing. The earth has its own evolution, and we may be speeding up the process or slowing down the process. It has its own process.
Mm-hmm.
So we're the ones that are borrowing time here.
Right. That's a great term as well, borrowing time. And we, like you said, we've gotten so far away from honoring the wind and the earth and the cosmos. So many people have just gotten so into themselves, whether it's, you know, that immediate gratification society of all of the things that have come out, internet, Facebook, blah, 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 that just kind of distracts us from being present with the wind and the earth and the people that are, you know, standing right in front of us in our community. So in the book, the cardinal winds are basically the winds that most people have heard of, you know, the east, the south, the west, the north. Is there something that is prevalent in each direction? You know, so I look at the cardinal wind of the east and you associate that with the mind. Can you give us a brief description on what those mean?
Sure. And I'm going to start in the north because right before this call, I pulled out, I have winds of spirit cards and the wind whistles and things. And I pulled one out for this call and it happened to be the cardinal wind of the north.
Mm.
And what I did was I overlaid all of the directions by about 15. I mean, I had papers upon papers, 15, 20 different traditions about how they labeled them all. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of decided, okay, well, some people, in every tradition, the East is about new beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the South, the West, and the North have a varying meanings for different traditions. So
yes.
I kind of then put my own spin to it with the help of the winds. And so for the North is about spirit and community and support. And what we want to know about that is that in our American society or wherever you are, everyone gets to January and they said, okay, let's get these New Year's resolutions going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you look about what the North is about, and that's that time of that deep, cold winter beyond the furthest mountain, it's about rest. It's about hibernation. It's about, you know, your seeds are germinating in the earth like they're resting. Because they won't grow until the timing and the temperatures are right. So you're not planting seeds in January. Forget those New Year's resolutions.
Mm-hmm. I'm right there with you.
It's rest.
Yes.
You know, and see your community. Sit around the fire. Have a good meal. You know, people in colder traditions, they used to have a central hearth. And people, you know, they had to reserve their energy. Not expend their energy and get it going into the world. That's coming up now in March as we, you know, hit into the spring equinox. We start to, okay, what am I going to plant for this year? What do I want to tend to? And mm-hmm. so in the spring, it's about tending to and new beginnings in your mind. And then whenever you start a new project in the East or a change of thought, think about it. Every time you do that into the South, your emotional unfinished business always reappears. It's just like clockwork. Like, so you think you're doing the greatest thing. Like I opened a healing arts center a bunch of years ago. All of a sudden in the South, I got hit with my own emotional ego and why no one wanted to play well together. I had to overcome because, you know, that's what you have to do in the South is see what, you know, the rains come, the emotions come. You have to work with that. Then in the fall, you see what you harvested. No, we always think of harvest as bounty, but some years on the farm, they just turn over the soil. They harvested a fallow field, and we don't like that. We think we should always have some abundant sack on our back, but that's not the way of nature. Mm-hmm. And then you go into the north where you put everything you worked on for that year, and you get to see how is the community buying on here? Like, example, I couldn't get the community buy-in for 10 years on the holistic network. Everyone came to get. The Winds of Spirit, I opened the Winds of Spirit, Wind Believers Facebook group, and in a year without any promotion really on my part, there's almost 1,500 Wind Believers. There's a community buy-in. And if your idea doesn't have that, you might as well start something new this spring. Really mm-hmm. take stock of what you're doing in your life and see how it's growing corn.
Wow. Well, it's interesting. I'm not opening. I'm moving with a community, moving into a community. There's four women and we all do different things and we're all offering different modalities, from, you know, shamanic wisdom to herbalism. And it was really important to me to do it at this time of year, but just kind of to like between, I wanted to do it between winter and spring and allow myself time to just let it kind of cultivate and see what was going to show up. So it's really interesting to me that you brought up all of these topics and relate it to the cardinal winds. As I go through the book, I'm definitely going to pay deeper attention to that. And I love that you attach them to, and I, you know, for lack of a better word, that you associate them with the mind and emotions and the body and the spirit. And to me, North has always been really symbolic of spirit. Now adding to it that clarity of allowing yourself to have that space of hibernation. I've never been a resolution person myself. So I really love how you associate that and look forward to kind of delving deeper into that. You know, you mentioned several times the use of the wind in so many different cultures. And within the winds of spirit, you have 29 different wind gods or goddesses that people can maybe open up and see what they relate to in that, right? How did you come to create that piece?
Well, with the four cardinal directions, there's 32. When I was researching the compass, there is, you know, 64 wind points and 360 on the whole flow chart, if you look at it that way, on points in the circle. So there was a natural stopping point on half for this one because it fit with the compass, which I'm really trying to, you know, stick to because that's where the information began.
Mm-hmm.
And I found 150 wind gods and goddesses when I just did
a
dump of gods. But then when I started to find, they found me. Let's just get real. Because there was the last wind that I wrote about in the book was the Latvian wind mother Vegemate. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't find anything on I couldn't find anything in English. And I said to a friend, I think I'm going to have to let go of this Latvian wind mother. And so she goes, well, what will you use instead? Well, the next day, a 50-page document of Latvian mythology in English appeared on a Latvian-only website that was a doctorate paper. And I thought, well, this just doesn't happen. And she's turned out to be a really important important element in the book because a lot of these winds are wind mothers, like Mari, the Basque wind, is a wind mother. And they predate religion. So mm-hmm. Each time I went into a deep dive into the culture to understand the context of how a wind god or goddess would relate. Like, so in the Roman Cardia is the wind goddess overhinges. She closes what's open and opens what's shut. I mean, they were all practical, which I loved. But they all had different spheres of influences. Like Yupancha, the Hopi, was about moderation, and Vegemate is about nourishment. Vayu, the Indus, is about strength. So the editor had me set it up so that someone could not even read the book, but open to the back of the book for daily guidance on a wind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I
and
opened
that is
to
exactly what I was
you.
Thinking as I was looking at that, was that people could just open it up and look at it. They could even look at the, you know, the table of contents and say, okay, this is what I'm feeling today. How can I,
how can I
use the wind in my life?
I didn't even think of it that way. Thank you. You just introduced me to a new idea of ways to use the book.
Absolutely. I like you, you said you pulled the North card. I pick random cards here and there. And every once in a while, I'm very specific about what I'm feeling. So when I saw that the first time, I thought, oh, wow. So when I'm feeling like a lack of compassion, I'm going to go to the Polish god, goddess, and see what it has to say in there for compassion. You know, I feel that 100%. So I'm glad I could help you in that.
That's great. I'm so glad we did this because now I got something.
We're getting down to the wire, Renee. It goes by so fast, right? I definitely want to invite you back to continue this conversation, especially knowing that you have something coming up in August that we can dive in and talk about as well. So listeners, again, I want to remind you, I've been chatting with Renee Baraboo, and we are talking about her work, Wind Work, her latest book, The Winds of Spirit, Ancient Wisdom Tools for Navigating Relationships, Health, and the Divine. And visit the Soulful Living page here at Empower Radio. Google Practical Shaman. Just go to thepracticalshaman.com and look at everything that she has to offer. It's pretty amazing. I know that I'm going to go back and finish reading the book and listen to this conversation again. And but that said, Renee, I love for my guests to leave the listeners with something they can take out into the day to empower themselves and elevate their soul. What would that be for you?
Could I blow the wind whistle for you?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Why don't
you.
We blow the wind whistle for you? And you can take that into your day. And I picked the wind for Terry. Thank you for having me, a passion. And that's the wind that I pulled for her new enterprise with these other women. And because they're all taking pieces of what they've learned and putting them together in a passionate way for other people. So I'm going to blow the winds of passion into your day. So close your eyes and get centered.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here with us.
You're welcome.